Last week we finished our short study on Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Oh boy. And we're going to start something different today. And this will be a series of lessons that are, I don't know where it'll all end up. The Lord knows. We keep looking for the Lord to come at any moment, but once we get into this morning, I think you'll realize that it's kind of a big topic. And you all know that the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God references our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're told in Revelation 19:13 a definition of the Word of God. And it says there that it's one of the many names of Jesus. Revelation 19:13 speaks of Jesus, and it says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The Word of God is our Bible. And the Word of God is synonymous with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, since he is the Word of God, we find him mentioned or referenced on every page in the Bible in one fashion or another. Sometimes it's in the shadows, sometimes it's very plain. Our Bible, as you know, is composed of 66 books. And it's written by 40 well-tested authors. 40 is the number of perfect testing. And all of these authors were inspired of the Holy Ghost to tell stories in our Bible that encourage our faith in Christ Jesus. And the variety of word pictures found in the Word of God are endless, especially when enlightened by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we all have favorite portions of Scripture. And these favorite portions of Scripture are highlighted in our heart and probably even underlined in our Bible. And then, on top of that, there are many common themes found throughout Scripture. Themes such as redemption, love, faith, grace, salvation, trust. Themes about trials and tests. Themes about overcoming. And the list just continues from there. All of these things help tell the uplifting story of Jesus, the Lamb of God, and his working in our hearts and lives. Now, all of this I said to introduce our subject matter for this next study that we're going into. And the study is Midnight Bible Stories. There's a lot of them. But why are they there? They're to encourage us. They're to encourage our faith. Now, perhaps there's a better way to think about this. For on the surface, Midnight Bible Studies doesn't really quite get to the heart of what this study will be about. I've mentioned this before, and in Hebrews 11, just a second here, I got to get a drink. In Hebrews 11, in my old Bible, which I haven't, pages are falling out of it, so I haven't brought it to church for years. But I have an old note written there, written during a sermon or a Bible study that Brother Hill gave one night. And I've told you this note before. We mentioned it in our Hebrews 12:1 and 2 study. And this note reads, "The darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith." Well, when are the darkest of times? There's a lot of midnight Bible stories in there. Many Old Testament heroes of faith are mentioned in Hebrews 11. Many, but not all. We went over more than was mentioned in when we did that Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 study. And since I've mentioned it three times here this morning, just for your information, my notes from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 are now on the church website under Ty Study Notes. Brother Bill was kind enough to put those on this week. And they're searchable, meaning if you're looking for a keyword, you can right-click or something and type that word in and find it in those notes. But, if you want to review, there it is. So these heroes of faith, these worthies of faith, all faced dark midnight trials in their lives. And guess what? That's why they are the heroes of faith that they were. And they faced tests that proved them to be icons of faith. And when we studied Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we found that the encouragement there for us, excuse me, was to be New Testament full overcomers of faith, such kind of overcomers as will qualify to be the Lamb's wife. So guess what? These tests from the darkest of times will bring forth the bride of Christ also. Brethren, think it not strange concerning what kind of trial? Fiery trial. Hey, Kevin, you been facing any midnight tests lately? I'm not making fun of it, because we all face these kind of things. And they might be literal, and they might be physical, and they certainly are spiritual. And so there are dozens of examples in the Word of God of midnight Bible stories. And these stories have been given us to encourage us to also be full overcomers. So let's study some of these events. First off, we're going to define midnight. And when is midnight? It's not exactly 12, but that is technically, I guess, midnight. But what is midnight? It's the darkest time of the night. It's the point farthest away, I guess, if you want to think of it this way, from daylight. So midnight, as we will define it here, is the darkest part of the night. And in a metaphorical sense, the time when our test or our trial appears to have reached its darkest point. And this darkest point is also seemingly like hopeless beyond, you know. You been there? Yeah, how many times? You'll find the worthies of faith all went through these times. So it'll be, and I'm not trying to look at the dark side of things, believe me, but it will be the darkest of times that we will focus on during this study. Because there we find the warriors of faith in action. And we're going to get to it. We're going to talk about warriors of faith. Warriors of faith define the full overcomers. That's all there is to it. And there's a study book, like a track on our shelves, I think, that you all probably have, that Brother Hill wrote and preached from or about, called The Warfare of the Believer. You can also find it on the church website, and I suggest you review it because it helps highlight how we get through these midnight times. Now, I think I did a study on midnight once. I don't remember. I didn't write it down per se. And it was amazing how the Lord kind of brought this back to me, because I told you last week when I left, I didn't know what we would talk about. And as I got to looking through my old things in my computer, this midnight subject just popped out. And I thought, well, we'll look into that again. The word midnight itself is found 14 times in the Bible. And it has two basic meanings. One, it expresses the thought that midnight occurs in the middle of the night. We've talked about that a little bit. And the other expresses the darkness of gloom found at the midnight hours. The midnight hours could be faced at noon, you know. Midnight can be expressed in literal terms, in figurative terms, and in spiritual terms, and in all three. Now, guess what? The full overcomer will face many midnights, the darkest of times, in spiritual terms, throughout his or her lifetime. All the Old Testament worthies of faith did, and the New Testament worthies of faith also will face the same midnights. Not exactly the same, but when you get to a dark test, trial time in your life, it's a midnight. So how did the Old Testament worthies of faith obtain faith? I want you to turn to Romans 10. And we find the answer. Also, how do the New Testament worthies of faith obtain faith? Romans 10, 17 answers this question. And it answers this question, pointing us again to the Word of God. And the Word of God is who? Jesus. We just mentioned that here this morning. Romans 10, 17 says this. And you know this, and this is probably one of those ones that's highlighted in your Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by watching a lot of television. Doesn't say that, does it? It says hearing by the Word of God. All full overcomers, whether from Old Testament times or from the New Testament church age, heard the Word of God and believed him. Now, granted, not all the Old Testament worthies of faith had their written Word of God to study, but somewhere along the way, in their course in life, they heard the word of the Lord, received the word of the Lord, and believed the word of God. Enoch walked with God. Did he keep his mouth shut, or did he divisit? The Lord told him a lot of things. Okay, so that's why our apostle Paul, who wrote, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He also faced many midnights throughout his Christian lifetime. And we'll get to that, Lord willing. The Apostle Paul is an example to us of what a warrior of faith is. If he isn't our example, then we don't have one, you know. So, like I said, we'll talk about some of his midnight times in this study. And some of them that you actually find the word midnight spoken there about midnight, this happened. And you can think of some of these things in your mind. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he wrote in Psalms 34:19 this statement. Turn there so you can see it. You'll find it real easy because it's already underlined in your Bible, I think. Psalms 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The afflictions of the righteous are often the source of midnight Bible stories. Now, you've had a few minutes to think about this, and I mentioned that midnight is found 14 times in Scripture. 14 is the number that points to what? Deliverance or salvation. That's the meanings behind the number 14. Who is our deliverer? Who is our salvation? It's the Lord who is our deliverer and our salvation. So we should see the Lord whose eye never slumbers, who never sleeps. We should see the Lord ever present, ever active in our darkest midnight hour. Perhaps he's closer to us then than at any other point in our life, so to speak, because he's always close to us. We're going to talk, I formulate this study, I might jump back and forth between New Testament story, Old Testament story, New Testament story, Old Testament story, because there's a bunch of them, the midnight Bible stories. But we're going to start in John 3. And in John 3, we find Nicodemus coming to Jesus by when? By night. Wonder why by night? Well, there's a lot of reasons for it. Perhaps it was a midnight time in Nicodemus's life too. Let's consider that thought. Nicodemus in John 3 came to Jesus by night inquiring about deliverance and salvation. And I think it was a midnight time in his life. And Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 7, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, you wise old Pharisee, you must be born again. Jesus then told Nicodemus the way of salvation, saying this, and we'll start in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we find that Jesus told Nicodemus about the light, which is and who is Jesus himself, the true light of the world, the true light of the world who sheds light at the darkest of midnight times. Go over in your Bible a couple chapters into John 8, and you look at the last part of that verse, which is probably also underlined in your Bible. And in John 8, 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That doesn't mean you won't face midnight trials. Again, in John 9, 5, Jesus says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, here's an interesting fact. You'll find Nicodemus' name mentioned 5 times in scriptures. You know the number 5. I don't have to tell you that one. Yeah, that's right. It points to grace. And so the reason, perhaps, maybe, why Nicodemus' name is found 5 times in Scripture is that Nicodemus believed in salvation by grace. 3 of the 5 scriptures that mention Nicodemus tell how it was the same Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. By the way, how many of you know anybody named Nicodemus? It's not really a common name, is it? So we kind of know who he's talking about when he says Nicodemus, right? So, again, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. It was a dark midnight time in his life. Now, we're going to go back to Exodus 11 and 12 for a few minutes. And here again, we'll find deliverance or salvation emphasized in the first 2 portions of Scripture where we find the word midnight. Again, we find the word midnight 14 times in Scripture. 14 is the number that points to deliverance or salvation. The first time we find the word midnight is in Exodus 11. The second time is in Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Now, and this is a continuing Bible story. And in this midnight Bible story, we find the children of Israel just about to be delivered from Egypt, where they had been in bondage for 400 plus years. This story pictures deliverance and salvation that is ours by believing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is indeed our Passover. And Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Passover foreshadows Christ's death upon the cross. And the Passover lamb was slain in Exodus 12, teaching redemption by blood. Now, if you're back there, we'll start in Exodus 11, verse 1, and read a little ways. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. Hence, when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow, that means ask or require, of his neighbor, and let every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight. That's your first mention of midnight in Scripture. About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now again, the word midnight expresses the thought of the middle of the night, and it figures the darkest time of the night. You can read further in that story, but we next read the word midnight in Exodus 12. And between the verses we just read and those that we're about to read, the Lord instituted the Passover, which you should be familiar with, and if not, you can further read about that again on your own. And then we read this in Exodus 12, 28. And it says, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight, that darkest hour of the night, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. That got Pharaoh's attention, for sure. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. Remember, this is a midnight Bible story right here. Truly it is. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled, that means plundered, took heavy payment, took a toll, took away all their goods from the Egyptians. Thus, the Lord delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, their land of bondage. And then Exodus 12, 42 says this of that night, that midnight story we just read. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. We have midnight trials and midnight tests. They were brought to us for a purpose, to remember what the Lord brought us from and where he's bringing us to. This observance of that night is called the Passover. And it says in Exodus 12:51, "And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." So, what have we been talking about here, a little bit here this morning? How the number 14 speaks of deliverance and salvation, and the number midnight is found 14 times in Scripture. So we get a little bit of a picture of how deliverance and salvation is expressed in these two chapters in Exodus, where the word midnight is first found in our Bible. I'll continue with Exodus here. We might run out of time. But in the 14th chapter of Exodus, we find the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. The crossing of the Red Sea pictures to us our salvation. And the children of Israel only crossed the Red Sea once. And we are only saved once. That's all you need to be saved. You're born once, and you're born again once. Think about it. So when we get saved, what do we have? We read that this morning. Everlasting life, right? John 3:16, again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we read in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 10:27, you probably have this one underlined in your Bible too. There's three verses here we'll read in John 10:27-29. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You can't even pluck yourself out because you're a man. And you know that, right? The Father's hand is the same strong and mighty hand that delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt in their midnight trial. So, what does crossing the Red Sea have to do with our study that we're now doing of midnight Bible stories? Well, again, remember that thought that I gave you earlier from a note in my Bible of how the darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith? The darkest of times are midnight hours when all hope of being saved is taken away. You can read that exact wording in Acts 27. And that was a midnight hour. It was the darkest of times for the children of Israel when in Exodus 14 they faced the uncrossable Red Sea in front of them. And the well-trained and well-equipped Egyptian army was right behind them. Oh no, what are we going to do? It's midnight hour for the children of Israel. So that's the setting that we find ourselves in as we continue this story. But I want you to think about this because we're going to run out of time. When did the crossing of the Red Sea take place? Day or night? Night, huh? It was a dark night, though, huh? But who took them through? The Lord. Who takes us through our darkest of times? Who delivered Paul and Silas at midnight? It was the Lord. Who delivered Peter from jail in the middle of the night? I think that's in Acts 12. It was the Lord. Who delivered you from your dark midnight tests and trials? And the ones that you're going to face in the future. And the ones you're probably facing now. Think about it. That's what we're studying about.